I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the only people to blame for the Minnesota shooting are Democrats and their dangerous rhetoric. Plus, the smoking gun, oh, we found it on Democrats' so-called millionaires tax. And a Washington congresswoman says they should really be investigating white men for fraud, not Somalians. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I don't even really know if there's a point in me sharing my opinion on the shooting in Minnesota. It was happening right as we came on the air yesterday. And with any shooting like that, the last thing I was going to do is blurt out my opinion on it right away after having seen one video and then be wrong about something. But, you know, I've watched multiple videos. I've seen the videos that you all have seen. When I say I don't know if that there's really a point, it's like everyone is 100% confident that their interpretation of the video that they saw is correct and everyone else is wrong. And that's just where we are in America. I mean, I know that this show is about giving my opinion. So I will do that, I guess. I don't expect to change anyone's minds. But what I want to talk more about is, you know, are we really surprised at this point that this is where we are? Are we really surprised about any of it? I mean, the woman who's my age, who was at this ICE action, I mean, she, and this was the intent, and her fellow rioters, protesters said the intent was to stop ICE from doing its job. She had pulled her car into the middle of an icy street so ICE agents couldn't get by. That's what she was doing. She was blocking them. And this is no surprise. The lieutenant governor of Minnesota told her citizens to do this.
Our neighbors are being disappeared. P.S. Without due process, it is just called kidnapping. Then show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line.
Put your body on the line. Put your body on the line. That's what that woman did. She put her body on the line. Now she's dead. Now she's dead with a bullet in her head. Because she put her body on the line. Is that what she wanted, Lieutenant Governor? Is that what you wanted? Is it really any surprise? Months and months now of Democratic leadership calling ICE agents Nazis and fascists and Gestapo and slave patrols. You have convinced, you've spun these people up so much that they believe they're fighting Nazis. And they're going to put their bodies on the line because that's what you've told them to do. And now you're shrieking that ICE murdered a woman who put her body on the line. You told her to do that. And even after that happens, even after you have a loss of life, even after you've had this boil over to the extent that it has, you still have asshats like the governor of Minnesota saying things like this.
We've never been at war with our federal government.
Now we're at war. Now that's the message he's giving. Well, everything's on the brink. Woman's just been shot dead by ICE. Rioters already taking to the streets. In a city that experienced what it experienced in 2020 after George Floyd. Precincts being burnt down. Rioting, looting. And as the governor, you think it's a great idea because you want to distract from the fraud investigation that's going on. You think it's a good idea to now say we're at war with the federal government. And you think that that's not going to lead to more people being shot and killed by the federal government? Because they're fighting them and putting their bodies on the line and putting their bodies in front of ICE agents who are armed, who are trying to do their jobs. And then you've got Kami Mamdani. Straight up communist in New York City. Long history of communists killing people and vilifying people who they don't agree with. He's out there saying an ICE agent murdered a woman in Minneapolis. Only the latest horror in a year full of cruelty. As ICE agents attack our neighbors across America, it's an attack on all of us. New York stands with immigrants today and every day that follows. So now, you know, you're under attack. The governor, the lieutenant governor, the mayor of New York City, Democrats across the country, we're at war with Donald Trump and his Gestapo. What do you do during war? People die during war. And you don't they're not out there. You think the lieutenant governor of the state of Minnesota is going to go out there in her vehicle and block federal agents from carrying out lawful immigration efforts and drive at a federal agent who's pointing a gun at her in a windshield? She's not going to do that because she knows what the result will probably be. But she's okay if you do it. She's okay if dumb, middle-aged white women who get spun up on Instagram go out and put their lives on the line for the movement and the cause, as long as it advances their political careers. The only people to blame for any of this are the quote-unquote leaders who have fostered and allowed for and called for this level of hostility. I mean, this was the scene in Minneapolis just after the shooting happened.
So what happened just now is that these Border Patrol officers have gotten themselves surrounded.
And frankly, that's not an unusual scene. This sort of stuff has been happening ever since President Donald Trump took office again. This is the hostility that these ICE agents and Border Patrol agents have been met with all over the country, in Seattle, in Portland, in Los Angeles, in New York City, in Minnesota. The hostility that any person with a brain can see and could tell and could predict would lead to death. And what about the agents and the officers who've been shot and injured as a result of these clashes? You don't see Democrats coming out and saying, oh my gosh, stop the violence already. This is too much. No, because they love the violence against ICE agents, against anyone who has any connection to President Trump. They're coming out more aggressively in anger and outrage over this woman who was interfering with an ICE investigation and tried to run an ICE agent over who got shot. They show more outrage for that than they did when somebody tried to assassinate President Trump. They show more outrage than when someone assassinated Charlie Kirk in cold blood. I mean, they're out there in Minneapolis today saying this to ICE. The citizens who have been all spun up by these Democrats saying stuff like this to ICE. You're gonna die. Can you imagine? You're gonna die. Just looks like some regular Minnesotan. I grew up there. Screaming at a federal law enforcement agent. You're gonna die, bitch. Lunacy. And they've totally bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker. Democrats don't care if they die fighting this fight. They want that. Tim Walz certainly wants it. Because he's all spotlight under him, not running for a third term, $9 billion worth of fraud that he's going to have to account for, some pretty credible allegations that he knew about the fraud all along. So gosh, if some 37-year-old white woman who again got spun up on Instagram or just has nothing else to do gets killed by Donald Trump's Gestapo, well, he's so happy about that. Oh my gosh, he's so happy about it. He is absolutely overjoyed by it. He doesn't care if you die, as long as it's a distraction and it works for the Democratic narrative against Donald Trump. Absolutely insane. And he's in there, and I don't know, maybe he's gaslit himself and he's gaslit Minnesotans and Democrats into believing that they're really the good guys here. Here's his press conference after the shooting.
Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait.
You take the bait? You set the bait. You won't be used as a prop. 2020. You've been used as a prop for a long time. You've used them as a prop. We will not take the bait. What are you talking about? ICE agents have been out under Obama, under Biden, for decades, carrying out lawful immigration efforts. You've never sent Minnesotans out to the street to stand in the way of it? You've never encouraged it before? You never would have encouraged it under Biden? Under Barack Obama? It's all about your Trump derangement syndrome. You're willing to let people die for your Trump derangement syndrome. And the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Guild begging elected leaders to tone down the rhetoric in a statement. And I'm happy to see this because, frankly, Walz always trots out, and the Minneapolis mayor who said this yesterday.
To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite.
Insane. I mean, you're, you know, rehearsed, practiced F-bomb. Good for you, young man. But while that's happening, and he's got the police chief, who's a total political pawn next to him, some other lady, the sheriff something to the left, and I'm like, oh my God, they've captured law enforcement. Can you imagine as a police chief standing there while your mayor tells federal agents to get the F out of your city and ramps up the rhetoric even after a woman died? And so thankfully, I was happy to see the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association put out something saying, stop doing this. Stop doing this. They said, we stand firmly behind law enforcement officers, accountability under the law, and the safety of every Minnesota community. Irresponsible, reckless rhetoric from political leaders attacking law enforcement has real and dangerous consequences for officers on the street. When officers are vilified, demonized, or used as political props, it fuels hostility, emboldens bad actors, and puts lives directly at risk. So they called on leaders to stop the inflammatory language and respect the legal and investigative process. But they're not doing that. Walls out there saying, we're at war with the federal government. Minneapolis mayor saying, get the F out of our city. You've done enough damage. As opposed to coming out and messaging, hey, you can peacefully demonstrate, but as long as they're carrying out lawful immigration efforts, and they can do that, other presidents have done it, you might not like it, but the route for change is to go to Congress. If what you want is for illegals to be able to stay here, well, then that's a law that you have to change nationally. But don't go out and interfere with a law enforcement investigation. No, they're not saying that. The lieutenant governor is saying, put your body on the line. Put your body on the line. And she can say that in her safe space because she's not the one whose body is lying on a slab at the morgue today. She doesn't give two shits about that woman who died. And of course, as soon as things ramp up, thank God it's winter in Minnesota, is what I'll say. Having grown up and spent many winters in Minnesota, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who are willing to brave negative 30 wind chill to go out there. Maybe a few, and that's fine. But I think we'd be in a much different situation if it was like George Floyd when it all ramped up in May and lasted through June and July. But that doesn't mean that other places in the country aren't going to devolve into what we saw in 2020. Here's Kata Davis Court was out covering a Antifa action that popped up overnight in Seattle.
Death, death, death to ICE.
Death to ICE. Death to ICE. They're out in the streets of Seattle chanting, death to ICE. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Seattle, the same thing. Cowardly leaders who have excused any sort of left-wing rhetoric, left-wing political violence for years and years and years, said, yay, do this, totally fine, take over the streets, take over the highways, take over the airport, whatever you want to do is fine, as long as you're protesting against Donald Trump or Republicans in some form or fashion. And then they want to act outrage when something happens that's inevitable. Now, as I said, this show is about giving my opinion. I don't think it's really... At this point, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has an opinion on the shooting that they think is 100% valid, but I'll give it to you anyway, and I reserve the right to change my opinion about it if I see something different that I haven't seen yet. A couple things. One of the things I think that is very important that's being overlooked here is how icy that road was, and I'm not going to play the video again. It's just not necessary. So first of all, you shouldn't, if you ever drive your vehicle toward a law enforcement officer, that's deadly force. You can kill someone, and law enforcement officers have been killed being hit by vehicles. So the second that she decided, and she was actively interfering with a law enforcement investigation, that's what all her friends said she was doing. Her purpose was to stop their vehicles from moving any further. So they are well within their right to contact her and to try to make an arrest. They're interfering. She's interfering with their law enforcement investigation. And at the point when they contact her to try to make an arrest, that's the point where you comply. And instead of complying on an icy road, she decided she was going to try to drive off. I don't believe her intent was to hit the agent. I believe her intent was to try to flee. But on an icy road where you can see your tires moving like this, then all of a sudden you get traction and you take off, she took off with an ICE agent right in front of her vehicle. And you can see in the video that his leg and his foot gets hit. He had every right to shoot through the windshield because his life was in danger. Now, the subsequent shots, I don't know.
I'm not going to put myself in a position of an officer in a split second and dissect. I saw some stupid article from like AP or the New York Times saying we've dissected. We've done a frame by frame analysis. It's like, okay, that's nice. You know who can't do a frame by frame analysis in the moment? The agent who's about to lose their life if a car hits them. Also, especially when they're on an icy road and they can't move away quickly. So in my opinion, it's justified from what I've seen. That being said, most police agencies train their officers not to place themselves in front of a vehicle. There's a reason for that. When you have a suspect who's non-compliant, you already know she's non-compliant. She's not getting out of the vehicle. She's not listening to orders. She was there to stop you from doing your job. The last thing you want to do is place yourself in front of a vehicle on an icy street with a non-compliant person because they're probably going to try to hit you with their car. And I know you might be saying, Brandy, don't preach to law enforcement how to do their job. But I heard from a Seattle police detective yesterday who said, we specifically train our officers not to do that. So I think the whole thing could have been avoided. But she was still going to be there. She was still going to flee. And who knows? She could have fled on an icy road and hit other protesters, ran other people over. So first of all, she's to blame for her own actions. I think the shooting was justified, but I think it was avoidable. I don't believe he should have stood in front of the vehicle. I don't believe that's what training dictates. But I blame Democrats and their rhetoric for all of it. Even after the shooting, ramping up the rhetoric. And to what end? What do they want? Do they think that this fight is what voters want to see for them in the midterms? Is this all about winning the midterms? What is it about? Because you've always been fine with federal agents doing their jobs. You've always been fine with federal agents out deporting people. Might not have been fine with it, but you weren't out there actively blocking them under Biden and Obama. But now it's Donald Trump, so I think it's just so spun up on the Trump derangement syndrome. And there's this little piece of me that's like, oh my God, let's just move on past Trump already as our country. But then I know that they're just going to find a boogeyman who's not Trump, whoever it is next, because they've lost their freaking minds. They have absolutely lost their freaking minds. And people are going to get killed. I saw some streamer out there. A video was sent to me. We have this group chat with all the independent journalists who were on the Antifa roundtable. Sorry, I should take a breath and calm down. I'm talking very quickly. I get so spun up about the political violence issue. And then you've got the Democrats on the steps of Congress yesterday, the day before, holding a candlelight vigil on the five-year anniversary of January 6th, while they're egging on political violence across the country. How stupid is that? How dumb is that? But anyway, I have this group text with all the independent journalists who are on the Antifa roundtable. And, you know, we kind of keep track where everybody's going and all that. And somebody sent out this live streamer in Minnesota basically saying we need to make sure that there's no peace for any of the journalists who were on the Antifa roundtable. We need to track them and follow them and stalk them and make their security earn their pay. It's terrifying. So, yeah, I have a personal kind of stake in all of it. But don't we all as a country? And there are so few politicians who are willing to come out and say, whoa, whoa, everyone. Like, we need to lower the temperature. Because frankly, no one's listening. No one wants to lower the temperature. Just wild. All right, I've got a good exclusive on the show I want to get to. I'll get your guys' opinion on the Minnesota shooting in our daily show poll coming up later on. So we, of course, are heading into the legislative session in Washington State, which starts on Monday. Yay for us. The big issue is going to be Democrats trying to push through an income tax. And of course, what are they calling their income tax? Oh, it's not an income tax at all. It's a tax on millionaires.
Millionaires should contribute more towards our shared prosperity. To be clear, by millionaires, I mean people who make more than $1 million of income in a single year.
Oh, that's no big deal, right? And they're doing it very intentionally. They've always wanted an income tax. And they think the best way to get it through is to package it, put it in a nice, put lipstick on a pig, say, oh, no, it's a millionaire's tax. And then what have I said? What they're going to do once it's passed, once they get their stacked Supreme Court, state Supreme Court to uphold it, then they're just going to lower the threshold and lower the threshold and lower the threshold. And by 2031, it'll be a tax on everyone's income. That is what's going to happen. It's not my opinion. That is what's going to happen. And I have proof of it today that I shall bring to you. But remember, after he came out and announced the millionaire's tax proposal, Bob Ferguson has been all over social media ever since saying what? He's been saying, I will not support an income tax for people who make less than $1 million a year. over and over and over, because they're going to try to sell this as a tax on the rich. So if people start to believe that it could end up as an income tax on other people, well, they might not buy into this when this inevitably gets challenged by an initiative and goes to voters. So that's what he's been saying. Well, enter Democratic State Rep Larry Springer. So he was at a candidate legislative preview yesterday that was hosted by the Bellevue Chamber of Commerce. So Larry Springer, member of the House Democrats, he supports an income tax. As I've said, most Democrats, lawmakers in Washington state do, and they have for a long time. They just know that there are certain constitutional restrictions on it, and voters have always opposed an income tax. But most of them have always said publicly, I support an income tax. But Larry Springer, again a Democrat, was asked a very interesting question about why we should believe Governor Bob Ferguson when he says that this will only ever be a tax on millionaires.
Why should the public, you know, while it's millionaires now, why should we believe Democrats? Why should the public assume that it's not going to be an income tax on them by 2031?
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't. The smoking gun. That's not coming from me. That's not coming from the Republican Party. That's not coming from conspiracy theorists. That's coming from a Democrat in the state house who supports the idea of an income tax. Let's listen to more of his answer.
Why should the public, you know, while it's millionaires now, why should we believe Democrats? Why should the public assume that it's not going to be an income tax on them by 2031?
You shouldn't. The, not to be flip about it, but you know, if past history is prologue, yeah, you probably shouldn't necessarily believe that.
It's pretty clear. And that's because every time they've done something like this, the capital gains tax being an example, oh, well, now we're in a revenue pinch, so we've got to increase the capital gains tax. We've got to change it, incrementalism. So what do I do with that? I mean, that's very clear. Now, how do I take that clarity and how do we get it out to the people who need to see it, who are saying it's just a millionaire's tax? It's just a millionaire's tax. Even the Democrats know it's not just a millionaire's tax. And there's another wrinkle as well. I'm a reasonable person. I like to think. Some might disagree. But I've said, hell, if I'm looking at the overall tax burden, right? And I know you guys hate it when I say this. I'm looking at the overall tax burden for the working class. And if it can come down in any way, fine. Like, I'll at least talk to you about it. So if you're telling me an income tax would have a lower burden than all these other taxes, and we can get rid of some of these taxes, and if you replace it with an income tax, actually less money is coming out of people's pockets. I'm willing to have a conversation about that, right? And Bob Ferguson has come out and said that, hey, let's use the revenue we get from the millionaire's tax to lower some of these more regressive taxes.
We must use those resources to provide tax credits for Washingtonians to make sure that small business owners pay less in taxes. Those are things we can do with the revenue from a millionaire's tax.
Can do, but will you do that? Rep Springer, again, a Democrat, says, nah, they're probably not going to do that.
I think one of the problems that we have, and this is going to be a central debate in this upcoming session, and while many of us, myself included, believe that a graduated income tax is a fair progressive tax that should pay for the services that the state needs. That said, if you want to do that, then you should automatically eliminate those taxes that are the most regressive. That's the B&O tax and the sales tax. So unless you do both of those things together, it's a false promise. And just the mechanics of an income, these are the questions that are going to be asked. I don't have an answer for them yet. We'll find that out as the session progresses. But the proposal will probably end up in court. We won't know or collect a dime, even if it's held up by the court, for 2 or 3 years. In the meantime, we haven't reduced a single regressive tax or lowered the B&O tax, and the argument will be, well, that will increase our deficit. So my question will be, then why are we doing this? Why don't we wait until we've got a revenue forecast that kind of looks good? That's the time you should start talking about a different tax system.
I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I'm a genius. That's exactly what I've been saying. And now a Democrat confirms it. They will never, in the middle of a budget crisis, cut taxes. They are not going to do that. That's common sense. I'm saying it. The Democrat in the House is saying it. And common sense tells us that. They are not going to, at a time when they say they are suffering, we don't have money for anything. Even if they add a tax, they're not going to cut the other taxes. And as he said, even if they pass an income tax this year, that money is not going to go into the coffers for years. So they're certainly not going to cut taxes until that's a guaranteed thing. Just wild. And I love this last thing he said. So remember, you might say, Brandy, didn't I sign an initiative and didn't we send it to the legislature? And didn't the legislature adopt an initiative that said no income tax in Washington state just 2 years ago? Yes. Why, yes, you did. And Rep. Larry Springer is at least intellectually honest and understands that they just did that. And so if they turn around this year and pass an income tax, they'll look like a bunch of liars.
We also just a year ago put in statute that an income tax is not going to be passed in Washington. I mean, we accepted the public's vote. And within a year, we're proposing an income tax. Yeah, well, you should probably be skeptical.
Well, okay then. I have your permission now to be skeptical. And for anyone who would dismiss my opinion on the matter because, right-wing Brandy, there you go. Don't listen to me. Listen to Larry Springer, a Democrat in a very, very, very progressive area of the state. Just glorious. Thank you, Bellevue Chamber of Commerce, for having this wonderful legislative preview where Larry Springer felt comfortable enough to just share the truth with everyone. That is an exclusive that you will not hear anywhere else unless they steal it from us. All right. Coming up next, we have some more tax talk. We have a lot to get to today. Oh, my gosh. It's all right. It's all good stuff. Depressing stuff, but that's okay. Are we in a tech bubble? Are we in an AI bubble? What's going on? Do you not know? Reach out to my friend Zach Abraham for a second opinion on your retirement portfolio. And in fact, coming up on January 29th, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, Zach and his team are having a New Year Reset live webinar. They're going to talk about all of this, the impact AI could have on the market in 2026. They'll discuss how Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management and how they incorporate value-based principles in managing retirement portfolios, plus a full reveal on how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So register now for the free New Year Reset live webinar happening January 29th. And while you're there at knowyourriskpodcast.com, you can schedule your own Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's daily market recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, so as we know, one of the many budgetary things that Democrats in blue states, in states like Washington, are freaking out about are, you know, all sorts of cuts or funds from the federal government that the Trump administration is either withholding or threatening to withhold. And it seems like there's like something new every single day. You know, there was the food stamp funding, Judge Block's Trump bid to halt federal funding for sanctuary cities, halting funding for electric chargers, withholding SNAP funding, medical research, all of these things. And the reasons for some of this differ. So in some cases, as you know, President Trump has said that he'll withhold funding from states that don't comply with his, you know, effort to dismantle DEI or transgender surgeries, you know, when it comes to funding for medical institution or in the case of Medicaid. He's expressed concern with states that don't have rigorous enough standards for people or where they need to raise standards for people to prove that they're, you know, disabled and can't work and all of these things. So, of course, rather than take accountability for their own budget failures, Washington State finds it convenient and our Democratic leaders find it convenient just to blame Donald Trump. It's like, oh, well, Donald Trump's at it again. We've got to raise taxes to be able to compensate for the money that we're losing because orange man bad, when we've put ourselves in this budget crisis with or without President Donald Trump. If Kamala Harris had won the election in 2024, we'd still be in a budget crisis because we were in a budget crisis under Biden and it was just getting worse every year. But, you know, I think that this is another one of those things where it shows that Democrats aren't in a budget crisis. They just want to pay for everything. I always talk about laser hair removal for transgender inmates. Like, if we can pay for that and boob jobs for transgender inmates, then we're not in a budget crisis. We have a spending problem, right? So this is another example of that. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson, this from the Washington State Standard, Washington Governor Bob Ferguson calls for tapping reserve fund and climate law cash to fill the budget hole. So we're in a budget crisis, and Bob Ferguson saying, oh my gosh, it's so bad that we're going to take money from the Climate Commitment Act fund, which I actually agree with, because I'd rather them take, there's billions of dollars in that fund, and they're spending it on the dumbest stuff, like teaching kids to ride a bike and anything they can just like claim is climate related. No, as long as that money is coming in, use it for other things. Not all this, I don't want $4 billion going to climate nonsense. But then he says, we're also going to tap into our reserve fund. So this is bad, right? He's going to use that to pay for seriously important stuff, isn't he? If you're tapping into our reserve fund, nope, he's going to use it to help provide services to illegal aliens. this is the budget mindset. It says, overall, Ferguson's plan does boost state spending. Of the total, $165 million is to deal with the effects of H.R. 1, the big, beautiful bill, which imposes new stricter eligibility rules for food assistance and Medicaid programs. For example, nearly $50 million of the money that he wants to poach, right, from the reserves of our state and from the climate money, nearly $50 million will be spent to provide an estimated 30,000 refugees, asylees, and other immigrants with state-funded food assistance after they were cut from the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Yes, you heard that correctly. So, and the state standard would never say illegals, but if they're not refugees or asylees, what are other immigrants? These are illegal aliens, and our state treats them all the same. So in the middle of a budget crisis, Governor Ferguson is going to raid our reserve fund so he can keep giving benefits to illegal aliens. They put that in the same basket as boob jobs for murderers, men who are wanting to be in the women's prison. It's the same kind of stuff. And that's why I won't support a single new tax that they want to put forth until they stop spending money on stuff like that, until they stop spending our money on illegals. And taking from our reserve fund to do it is utterly insane. Another insane story I want to put on your radar, because I think it's going to become quite the debate over the coming months. So, of course, you guys know we've been covering the Flock camera system a lot. So this is a license plate reader camera system that a lot of cities have implemented in recent years to try to fight crime at a time when many of the blue cities are seeing and have seen record low numbers of officers on their forces, because they all talked about defunding the police and police fled. And so they don't have enough officers. And so they had to basically hire robots to do the job of officers in the form of cameras to help them fight crime. And it was going fine. It was going just fine. I mean, they were solving all sorts of crimes in these hot spots by using these Flock cameras. In fact, there's one agency, and I won't say who because I don't want some politician to try to derail the investigation, but on one of the times I was assaulted by crazy lefty lunatics, they've identified a suspect using the Flock camera system. So they use it for all sorts of things. But then one city somewhere found out that Border Patrol might have accessed their camera data, like once maybe, to do something. And now all of the liberal cities are like, oh, this is a problem. So we've had story after story of cities in Washington state, and this is happening elsewhere as well, where they're saying, well, you know, maybe we need to rethink these cameras as a very valuable tool, because like cities like Puyallup, and they've caught all sorts of people using these cameras, violent criminals. But because in one city, Auburn, Border Patrol, accessed information, which was allowed. There's features where you can turn off data sharing or turn it on. And they had it on. So Border Patrol's like, okay, yoink. They threw a fit over it. And then that was like a domino effect. And all these other cities are like, well, maybe we shouldn't have these cameras at all. And now the state is trying to do it. Enter Senate Bill 6002. So they have a lot of words in this, lots of words, but basically what they want to do is try to make it so prohibitive, like so difficult, so many regulations and rules and restrictions on the Flock cameras that cities just do away with them altogether. It's unlawful for any agency to use an automated license plate reader system for immigration investigation or enforcement or both, which is fine. You could do that right now. You could just turn off the data sharing. If they really want to limit the tool and say it's against the law to be able to do that, that's fine. But then it goes on to say it's unlawful for any agency to collect automated license plate reader data on the premises or immediate surroundings or access from facilities that provide health care, worship, courts, food banks, schools. So they're putting this long list of restrictions on Flock cameras. So cities are just going to do away with it. And then it has this other little element that I actually think is a good thing, because one of the arguments that even conservatives have about the Flock cameras is data sharing and privacy issues. So they have a line in here about privacy. It says automated license plate reader data is not subject to disclosure under the Public Records Act, except such data may be used for bona fide research, blah, 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 blah. So I'm okay with that element of it. I'm okay if you want to say that we're going to protect people's personal information, because then that eliminates the privacy argument that some people have been making about Flock cameras. And then it's just comes down to their usefulness in fighting crime. And honestly, I'm even okay if they want to say the feds can't access the cameras. I just don't want to see the cameras go away for virtue signaling, because they are so useful for our local police departments that are short-staffed in fighting crime. Let me give you an example that just was put out by the Ellensburg, Washington Police Department. This is crazy. They use Flock to apprehend a suspect in a kidnapping and multiple luring incidents. So I'm just going to read this to you because it's wild. It says, on December 22nd, Ellensburg police patrols were dispatched to a harassment incident. Four middle school girls were approached by an unknown suspect driving a blue semi-truck with no trailer. The suspect attempted to lure the girls into his vehicle. When they refused, he followed them. So the girls ran and hid. Detectives began gathering video surveillance and determined the suspect appeared to be a long-haul truck driver last seen heading east on Interstate 90. Based on the original social media post, additional information came to light. They put a thing out on social media asking for information. Then they got contacted by another victim, who reported that this guy had also tried to kidnap them earlier that same night. The suspect had grabbed her and told her to get into his truck, but she was able to escape. After the encounter, the suspect drove a short distance and the victim heard another female yell at the suspect. So this long-haul truck driver is going around Ellensburg trying to kidnap women, middle school girls. Like, this is one dangerous hombre. An additional witness reported seeing the suspect approach two females on Main Street, following one at a fast pace in an alley before being interrupted by the male witness. This intervention prevented the suspect from taking any further action. Surveillance footage confirmed the presence of the suspect's vehicle in all the incidents. Here we go. Detectives utilized Flock license plate readers to identify the vehicle, which was registered to a company in Arizona. Detectives were able to identify the suspect. An arrest warrant was issued for a 35-year-old resident of Mexico working for the Arizona-based trucking company. The suspect was arrested on January 6th while entering the United States through an Arizona border crossing and will be awaiting extradition to Washington State. Not possible without the Flock camera system. The guy tried to lure no fewer than 9 women, including young girls, in a single night in Washington State. He's a citizen of Mexico. How he's driving a big rig for an Arizona company, separate issue we ought to look into. But is this an instance where that law would say you can't use them because he's a citizen of Mexico and immigration might have to get involved in order to get him? I tend to think yes. So now we're putting the safety of a Mexican national ahead of middle school girls who that Mexican national tried to kidnap. That's the mindset of Washington State Democrats, all about virtue signaling at any cost whatsoever. All right, coming up next, several Democratic leaders saying flat out they are not interested in investigating any potential daycare fraud. It's unbelievable. First, if you are planning to sell your home in 2026, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes is the guy you want in your corner when you go to sell your home, no matter what the state of the market is. He's going to do a couple things. He's going to be honest with you. He's going to give you his assessment of the market. It's one of the first things that he'll do, sort of set your expectations for how long it might take to sell your home, what he thinks you should price your home at, and kind of talk to you about at a community, neighborhood by neighborhood level, what he's been seeing. And then you can go from there. A lot of the people Wes helps to sell their home are people who might need some cosmetic upgrades, and he loves those projects. So he can come in, manage it, bring in the contractors, so you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to stress. Especially useful, I think, if you've already moved or you're out of state and you don't want to have to like be here and deal with the sale yourself. And Jay gave Wes and his team 5 stars. Says, from start to finish, Wes and his team are all about relationships, authenticity, and results. Over 3 years, Wes guided me through renovations, referred great contractors, and helped me make smart choices. Ended up getting 4 offers sold for $100,000 over asking. You won't find a better team. SellWithWes.com. SellWithWes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right. Some Washington State Democrats, including the new socialist, mayor of Seattle, are saying just flat out, nothing to see here, folks. We're not investigating potential Somali daycare fraud. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, this clip has been making its rounds, came out after our show yesterday. I just had to play it today. So Congresswoman Emily Randall is the newest member of Washington State's congressional delegation. She is a Democrat representing like the peninsula, basically. And she said, Somalis, you know, despite ample evidence of Somali fraud in Minnesota, the fraudsters contributing to political candidates in Washington state, despite some of the same indicators with Somali-run daycares in Washington state, as was seen in the Minnesota fraud, she's like, oh, no. We're not going to look at the Somali community. You know who we should be looking at? White dudes.
We can trot out all of the data that we want to create the sense that there is a bad guy. There is a bad group of people. There are folks who are not among us. There are folks who are other. And I think we should spend a lot more time looking at ourselves, looking at American citizens, looking at white men.
What are you talking about? She is literally the only one who has said, let's look at people based on race. Yeah, let's investigate people based on race. Start with white dudes. It's like, no, it just so happens in Minnesota that Somali people have been convicted as part of a wider fraud investigation. So that's why the conversation is about the Somali community. It wasn't just people who went into Minnesota one day and said, we're going to investigate daycares. And you know who we're going to start with? All the black people. No, Democrats are the only ones who think in that mindset. It's just wild. And frankly, you have my support. I don't care who you investigate for fraud. I want you to investigate everyone for fraud, frankly. And if it happens to be a white guy who's perpetrated the fraud, well, he can go to prison and share a cell with a Somali. I don't care. Just wild. A little more blunt of a response on all this came from Mayor Katie Wilson of Seattle. First, credit to Chris Daniels of Como. He's been doing some great work on this story. You know, ever since the Minnesota fraud broke, I think there were a lot of news agencies who were very quick to dismiss it as right-wing propaganda or racism or whatever it is. Chris has really dug in, and he's been going around asking the right questions of the right people and basically taking the approach of, let's just look into it. God, what's the harm in that? You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Could we be investigating whether there's fraud? And if there's not fraud, that's what we'll report on. But he sat down with Katie Wilson and he asked her about all of this, and her answer was very blunt.
I think the fear in the Somali community is real. The fear in immigrant communities are real. So we're taking that very seriously.
Along those lines, have you asked anyone to follow up on the fraud claims, either to the Department of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs or SPD?
No.
Nah. Not interested in that. She has plenty of time to send out long statements and say the members of the Somali community should report hate crimes if anyone comes and asks them any questions, but no interest whatsoever in looking into whether there's any merit to those individuals being asked questions about potential fraud. So that tells you all you need to know. One more thing from Chris Daniels. He sat down, genius idea. I never would have thought of this. I should have thought of it. He sat down with the former state auditor, Brian Sontag, who was the auditor for years and years and years. As the auditor, he's a Democrat, was able to catch some pretty significant instances of fraud. And Chris Daniels was talking to him about, you know, these concerns around daycare and childcare facilities. And Sontag said, yeah, why would we not look into this?
You want to be able to make sure on behalf of the public that their public dollars are being safeguarded.
In this particular case, knowing what you know from the outside, what do you think is the most appropriate audit, type of audit to address these concerns people might have with DCYF?
I think a financial compliance audit to trace where this money is coming from, where it's going, and why, regardless of who's doing the audit. If the state auditor's office is doing it, if it's a federal agency who does this because these are federal dollars.
Wow, what's so hard about that? He used to be the auditor. He's a Democrat. He's investigated all sorts of fraud, and he says you could just do an audit. And if there's something there, great. If there's not, fine. He said the feds could even do the audit. It's their money after all. Isn't that a sane response? Whenever it's like doth protest too much, people saying nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Okay, well then you won't mind if we look? You won't mind if maybe we do a little audit just to make sure? And on the back end, if you don't find anything, great. Then you can, you know, take a victory lap. So I thought that was a very sane response. It was a good interview. So again, a lot of credit to Chris Daniels. And just a note, this came out just before the show today. Vice President J.D. Vance has announced that there will be a new assistant attorney general position, and their entire job will be investigating fraud nationally. So they're going to start by looking at what's happening in Minnesota, and then they'll expand nationwide. Vance says the position will have, quote, nationwide jurisdiction over the issue of fraud. A nomination for the position is going to be made in the next couple days, and it will be run out of the White House under the supervision of both the president and the vice president. So I love that. I'm kind of surprised there's not a position like that already in the Office of Attorney General of the United States. All right, coming up next, food pyramid. RFK Jr. is turning our perception of healthy food on its head, literally. We'll discuss. I can't wait to hear what Nicole has to say about this, because she's always talking about what's good for your body, what's not, health, weird freak stuff. What do you call the doctors who aren't really doctors? Homeopaths? Is that it?
Naturopath?
Sure. Or what is a homeopath?
I don't know.
Is that something? What am I thinking of? Anyway, homeopath. We'll discuss it. I don't know. Why do I speak without thinking? First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. It's a good time to reevaluate your family's budget and to reevaluate the insurance you have. And if you're in the middle of an insurance policy, it doesn't matter. You can go through First Mark and you'll just get a refund for whatever is left on the policy that you've already maybe paid for. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Tell them Brandy sent me to take the First Mark Challenge. They'll take great care of you. You can talk to them about your current insurance, maybe anything that's changing with it. They'll go out, they'll shop their market of carriers for you, come back with their recommendations. And they might say, hey, we actually can't save you any money. You have great insurance. And then that's fine. Then you can walk away and pat yourself on the back. Or they'll say, hey, we can save you hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. And you're going to be like, sign me up. That's what Christine did. She's now saving $10,000 a year in 2026. And who couldn't use an extra $10,000 a year? So FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind.
Okay, homeopath is a doctor of alternative medicine.
Oh, okay. See, you're like, crazy.
But I think it was an
old term.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. So RFK Jr., he, of course, wants to MAHA, make America healthy again. And so they are finally, after a long time, way overdue, revamping the food pyramid. Here he is.
Today, about 50% of the calories that our children eat are ultra-processed foods or highly refined carbohydrates. That's literally poisoning them. And that is the result of a food pyramid that was driven by mercantile impulses that put Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid. We now have a science-based food pyramid that is based upon the most recent best science. And it's telling people to eat proteins, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. And that is going to transform the American dietary culture.
And it's one of those things where Democrats will freak out about anything the Trump administration does.
Literally.
Like, you'll see this, literally. It's so common sense. Everyone knows that he's right.
And vegetables
still,
at the top.
Yeah, so can you still show the before and after? So I don't like that it's an upside down pyramid now, but I guess I get it. You don't want what you shouldn't eat at the very first thing you look at.
So they just supposed to be lower
yes,
amounts,
right?
So that's
like inverted pyramid. But of course we knew the old one was whack. It had this little tiny thing for protein, and we know how good protein is for you. And then it's like, bread, just eat carbs. And we know that's wrong. So now their new inverted pyramid has your protein, healthy fats, vegetables, fruits. Then it gets into some of the other fats, higher sugar content things, and then whole grains at the very tippy top or bottom. I mean, and the Democrats lose their minds over it. And there was this great new government website, USDA website, launched as part of this. And it's awesome. And I saw people making fun of it. And I'm like, why are you making fun of efforts to make people healthier? Right. Legit, what's wrong with you?
I heard a couple, I saw, I think it was on NPR and a couple different news or agencies saying that, oh, like, we all know saturated fats are bad for you. And I'm, okay, well, there's a moderation aspect right. of it, and that's the point of all of this. And they also were saying, like, okay, the average person doesn't really go by this anyway, but this is going to dictate how we feed our kids in school. And right. so they're just like, they're so angry because this might impact how kids eat at school. And I mean, I watch a certain news program in the morning, every morning, local news, and they give you the kids' lunches, what they're getting served at lunch every day. Like, they pick different schools. And
MJ McDermott used to do that, and I liked
when still that station.
Oh, Fox, my old station.
but I mean, some of this stuff is ridiculous. Literally, yeah. yesterday was mac and cheese or a warm pretzel with cheese.
What is it, a carnival?
How is that any more healthy than anything they're trying to say you should eat, right? So I think that this is good, and they just can't deal with it. And I appreciate how fast they're getting stuff done, and they're just doing things that have needed to be done. Like, Biden could have done this, and they would have celebrated, and he should have. And honestly, Michelle Obama, who this was her thing, why didn't she do this? Like, she knows.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It is, and it just shows you there's nothing that Trump could do, and he said that. He could world peace, literally what she's doing, solve world hunger, whatever it is, and they'd find a reason to crap on him for it. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and so the guidelines set limits on added sugar, encourage diets that include meat and dairy. I don't understand what the problem is, but TDS reigns supreme. Mm-hmm. Thank That's you, Nicole. Wild. You're already following this, I imagine. You're already, your diet's already probably, you're a very healthy eater.
Oh, I try. Oh, yeah, I don't eat a lot of grains anymore these days.
Very healthy eater.
Yeah, rice, but
I dabble in too much
I have to give
chocolate.
Credit to my sister-in-law and my brother. They make me feel ashamed of what I eat
so
every
like,
day.
Not that, yes. All right, it is Thursday, so let's take a little break from the insanity here and check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. Is our weekly segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello, happy new year.
It's just so nice seeing you in Florida. I love it really, down there so much.
Yeah, I love it. I've been here 20 years and I love it more every day.
Yeah, and then it was depressing driving by the gas stations to see how different, and even everything, really, food, gas, noticeably more affordable.
Yeah, it is. The housing, actually, you guys are expensive out there too, as far as living expenses for housing. So maybe we're equal there, but everything else is a little cheaper, a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. The beaches, not that I hate Washington. I don't hate it here. I hate the politics. It's much different. Okay, really quickly, just because this is something that I think we'll be tracking in a couple months, Florida's heading into its legislative session, as are we, and they're going to have a special session, DeSantis announced, specifically to look at this issue of redistricting, because Trump is saying if Republicans don't do something, we're going to lose the midterms.
Yeah, so I did hear him put, because I listened to a little press conference where he was asked about it, and he put a huge emphasis on wanting to do it constitutionally and make sure it's not a gerrymandering situation. But he did call for, after the session is over, a special session specifically to get this done.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of tired of this whole issue. It's like blue states are doing it, red states are doing it. It used to be this universally agreed upon thing that's like, you know, there would have to be extreme extenuating circumstances to do it mid-decade or whatever it is. And I know in Washington, some Democrats are talking about doing it as well. It's like they want to redistrict the congressional districts here. It's like, you guys already have 8 of the 10. Leave it alone, okay? You already got them all. I don't know what you want. It's like Pokemon. They got to catch them all. So it's just, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, if you're not Florida, I mean, California, you know, they were like, we're not even going to, we're intentionally doing it unfair because we're going to fight the Trump administration. So if you do it fairly, I have no issue with that. It's when you're saying we're going to do it to benefit us that's bothersome.
Yeah.
All right. In reason number 9654, why Florida is more sane than us, the Attorney General's office there is looking into a particular city in Florida that they believe is allowing homeless encampments when they shouldn't be.
Yeah, so apparently the Attorney General's office had received a bunch of complaints from Winter Haven, Florida, from residents saying that officials are letting people sleep overnight in city parks and on the side of one of their main roads. And right now in Florida, the state law prohibits people from lodging or residing overnight on public property unless that property has been designated by the Florida Department of Children and Families. And they are saying no matter how many complaints they put in, nothing's being done about it. So they went above and beyond and wrote to the Attorney General. So he has sent the city a letter warning them, but the city has not responded. I went looking today. They said that they would respond within 48 hours, but so far nothing.
Yeah, and I know in a news article, the Winter Haven Police Department said that it enforces state, county, and local regulations related to public camping. But do you? Because you've had people complaining that you're allowing these camps to spring up. And look, you have to put your foot down. It's so different from here, right? It's like, oh, no, we'll absolutely, you know, not only can you camp in public parks, we'll come out and bring you food and toilets and garbages and all of these things. So I guess they'll get to the bottom of whether this city is violating state law. All right. Plastic straws. I thought Trump figured this all out. I thought we were done having debates about plastic straws versus the gross ones that disintegrate in your drink. But there's a new bill in Florida introduced. What would it do?
So this bill wouldn't put a ban on paper straws, but it would try to unify efforts across the state to kind of allow people to make their, like, businesses to make their choices. So it's, they're trying to restrict cities and counties from making their own blanket laws and maybe more leaving it up to businesses and individuals on how they want to handle paper versus plastic straws. God, because I was telling you, there's this one area in my old neighborhood where I could go a block up and go to a different Starbucks and get a plastic straw. But if I got a Starbucks in my neighborhood, it had to be paper because the city that I lived in required paper.
I mean, the worst idea ever. Oh, let's take this thing that easily disintegrates in water and softens and tell people they have to suck liquid through it. I don't mind the ones, we've had this conversation a million times. I don't mind the ones that are kind of plastic-esque, that are like biodegradable, whatever they make it out of, sea kelp or something. I don't know what the cost differential is for businesses. I imagine those are more expensive to buy. But why is the government involved in this at all? It's crazy. I was reading this first paragraph of this story from Fox 4 in Florida. It said, Florida state lawmakers are considering legislation that would restrict local governments from setting their own rules on disposable straws. It's like, oh my God, why is the government, do we have to have these conversations? And it's because you have governments implementing and demanding that businesses have paper straws over some stupid lie about turtles.
It's true. And we do a lot in Florida for our turtles. Like if you live on the coast, you have to have a certain wattage of exterior lights at your house. The street lights are like this dim orange. You can't have Christmas lights on your property if you live on the beach. Huh. So like we protect our turtles. And if we're not worried about the straws, then nobody should be worried about the straws.
Right. And you're telling me I couldn't take one of those like seaweed things. Let's just play this out quick. I know I'm belaboring the issue. If we're worried about that sucker getting lodged in a turtle's nose, right, cavity. Okay, the little seaweed straws or whatever they are made of, they might be biodegradable, but they're not biodegradable instantly. So that can still kill a turtle. The turtle will cease to breathe, you know, long before that thing biodegrades. So it's the stupidest nonsense climate grift ever of all time.
It really is a nothing burger.
Yeah, just won't do it. All right, Miranda, we appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
I really do have a serious mental disorder when it comes to those paper straws. That is, if anything on this earth was going to send me to the loony bin, it would be having to drink out of a paper straw one more time in my life. I'm going total cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. All right, let's get to our daily show poll. I asked you on Patreon, Locals, and X. Our polls are just for subscribers. Thank you for being paid subscribers to the show. We asked, with all available, all the video that's available so far, do you believe the Minnesota ICE shooting was justified? Yes or no? Nicole?
I believe it was justified based on the events that happened, yes. Like, I agree with you that it was avoidable,
mm-hmm.
but based on how things played out, and she reacted as quickly as the officer reacted.
Yeah, on an icy road, and then her wife was, like, filming her, you know, trying to obstruct ICE and, you know, mm-hmm. was probably going to put it on Instagram, and now it's like, well, now your wife is dead. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. I just don't. And she had a child. Why are you out there? You know, I don't get it.
Silly.
90% of you are saying yes, it was justified based on what we know right now. Julie said, I said yes without hesitation. I would think there could be other ways to stop the vehicle, like shoot out the tires, but who am I to say? I wasn't on the ground. Let's see. Weisscastle. I can't judge all the officers' actions, but the primary responsibility is still with the person fleeing. William, I am surrounded by TDS sufferers. So they would believe that Trump had a hand in the crucifixion. They were all, if they were religious at all, saying that they blame Trump for everything, including the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which is probably true. Let me see. Tony said, or Patrick said, no death is justified, but what one side is doing to amp the flames against ICE police to try and distract from their fraud issues, that's just sick. Tony, kind of the definition of FAFO. And then you still have these rioters out there confronting ICE, and it's like, dude, they just shot and killed a woman yesterday. Doesn't that make you want to stay home? Crazy. And if they're as dangerous as you say they are, then you should want to stay home. Gartz over on Locals, Tim Pool has a really good breakdown of it. Law enforcement deals with the worst of society every day. Hesitation can get them and or their coworkers killed. She chose to F around and she chose poorly. And, you know, there have been, ICE agents have been assaulted repeatedly over the last 9 months. Year, really. And there have been instances of ICE agents being dragged by vehicles under the Trump administration in 2025. So you don't know what these ICE agents have been through in the lead up to this happening. So for all I know, something has happened to him before. And he's like, I'm not going to, you know, allow myself to be killed over this. Let's see. On X, Anna says, yes, she weaponized her multi-ton vehicle to try running over an officer, endangering his life. Clear self-defense, multiple angles confirm what happened. Bruce, as much as I'm in favor of ICE, I don't see anything that shows me it was justified. Manslaughter, yes, looks like an overreaction by officers. So I don't know. I think it was justified. I don't really know how the investigation works, though, because if the federal government deems that the federal agent was doing his job in line with training, then can the state really go after him and politically prosecute him? I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, Valentine Roofing, our wonderful show sponsors, have been awarded the best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest a third year in a row. I had them out to my house recently to take a look at my gutters, clean my roof and all that. They were totally great, friendly, great cleanup. I mean, meticulous. Every leaf that they blew out of those gutters, they took with them. I was like, that is great work. So right now, it's getting cold out, obviously. And if you don't know, most of the heat lost through your home is lost through the roof. So if you have an issue with insulation, you can start with your roof and attic. Right now, they're offering up to 25%, or rather 10% off your entire project when you bundle attic insulation with any new roof, because they said up to 25% of your home's heat loss is through your attic. So if your furnace is working overtime, it is time to call our friends at Valentine. So get a free estimate, call 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. Tell them, hey, I want to bundle attic insulation with a new roof. I want to save 10% off, and they'll schedule some time for you. 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING. Tell them that you heard about them here on Undivided. All right, comments from the live stream on the dangerous rhetoric happening before and after the Minnesota shooting. John Thomas, Marxist Democrats have been trying to provoke exactly this. Now they have their martyr. Walls declaring war, they want Trump to send in troops. And I said that, you know, when Portland was happening, they were dying for Trump to send in the National Guard. That was the best thing that could happen for them, another excuse to distract from their own failed policies at home. Moon Goddess, politicians with TDS is becoming a deadly pandemic, and Americans are listening to them and paying the price with their lives. TDS needs a cure. It's crazy. I wish I could bottle up what cured my TDS and sell it. I've been thinking about writing a book, how I recovered from TDS and how you can too. Oh. I just don't know how you could too. Prince Elian says he wasn't in front of the vehicle. He was initially to the right of it. She put him in front of her vehicle after she backed up and turned in his direction. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Linda Mearns, I'm just sad about the level we've reached. What's happening? Yikes, I agree. Or seems to me that the federal government should give Minnesota exactly what the governor and mayor have demanded. No federal help, suspend all federal funding, withdraw all federal officials from the state, and close all federal offices statewide. Yeah. The mayor says, get the F out. Okay, we'll get the See F ya. Out and stay out. And we'll take every single federal dollar and all of those things with
Not
us.
Bad idea.
And they could even say, and we won't even take your federal income tax, because you can't take their federal income tax and then say we're taking all our money away. So fine, Minnesota, go do your own thing on your own little island. Let's see, on Larry Springer confirming that an income tax is the goal of the millionaire tax, Eric says, I don't think it'll take until 2031 for them to lower the state income tax. So the only reason I think he's saying that is it's going to take years for the process to play itself out. So they already know there's going to be a legal challenge. So that'll have to go, it'll go, you know, wind its way through the courts to the state Supreme Court. Then you'll have an initiative process as well. And so by the time all that's done, it'll probably be, you know, 2028, 2029. And then it's in place. I don't think they'd immediately that same year change it. So it'll probably be a year or 2 years after that. So that's all I'm saying is this will be a while before it goes into effect. Crafty Grandma Crispy. I want an outside audit of all spending prior to any new tax. I wish. I wish. Ferguson giving money to illegals. Charisse, all foreigners need to do the work and fix their own countries. America is not a global refugee camp. Yes, we are.
We kind of are.
We've become that. Mm-hmm. On the flock cameras and whether they should be banned, Graham Robbins says either remove the cameras or let ICE use them. The end. See, I just disagree.
Yeah, I disagree with that as well.
Only because I'd rather them be able to be used for some sort of law enforcement purpose. Because if you let ICE use them, they're just going to take them away.
And if the cities are funding them, if it's being funded, like, you don't have to turn over everything you fund to feds, right? So I think that that's fair as well.
Yeah. On Washington Democrats not being the slightest bit interested in investigating daycare fraud, Windfeather. Fraud is fraud. Laws are laws. If you don't like the laws, change them via the political process, but enforce what's on the books. I agree. Mm-hmm. Susan Hill, we'll end with you, Susan. More fear-mongering. Is this about me? Is this about me? Let's read it anyway. More fear-mongering, hate-mongering, gaslighting, propaganda, BS, hate theater. All she's doing is sowing seeds of hate.
Yes, I think Miranda did put that in there.
At a time. One at seeds of common sense, Susan, one at a time, and then we shall watch them blossom and watch your ilk fall from
power. So aggressive on caps and everything.
I'm assuming that's about me because I don't know who else it would be about.
Yeah.
I'm really a nice lady, Susan.
Yeah.
I'm really not so bad. So get over it. Thanks. All right. And with that, thank you, Nicole. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Leave it to Scott Jennings to have a dose of reality and common sense on what's happening in Minnesota with ICE on his CNN panel. He said that, you know, reiterated kind of what I was talking about Dems encouraging vigilante justice and saying in America, this is not the way it's supposed to be done.
We are undergoing an epidemic of political vigilanteism right now. Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities? This is not an isolated incident. We have had hundreds of car rammings against ICE agents all over the country. According to DHS, this lady in this car today, along with other vehicles, had been tracking ICE agents around. Why are people believing that they can drive their car into a federal law enforcement situation and that is an appropriate thing to do? I understand they don't like the fact that these agents are enforcing existing immigration law. But that's not how we change laws in this country. If you don't like a law, you talk to the politicians. You don't drive your car into the middle of a building or a law enforcement situation that's being occupied by the people who are simply there to enforce the law. If I don't like how much the IRS is charging me in taxes, I don't drive my car into the Treasury Department, try to run somebody over. I call my congressman.
Yeah. It used to be just the small segments and one-off insane people who would do things like this. And now the Democratic Party has turned hundreds of thousands of Americans into domestic terrorists. And they've done it through their rhetoric and through their excuses that they've made for many years of political violence that aligns with their ideology. And it is, of course, unacceptable. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Nicole's laughing for some reason. Well, I don't know why.
Miranda that says that wasn't about Brandy. It was about the woman's comments on the Somali fraud.
Oh, so, okay. Sorry.
So it must have been on.
So who do I need to apologize?
Emily.
Susan Hill. Thank you. I'm glad it wasn't about me, Susan. I was quite worried. What was I saying? That has been today's episode of Undivided. Great to be back with you guys after our long vacation. I really did miss you and miss this. But we're back, and next week is going to be the legislative session, so we'll be quite busy. We'll have an episode of Sundays with Subscribers coming up on Sunday, expert on what's happening in Cuba and Venezuela, and a response to State Representative Sean Scott saying Cuba is a successful example of socialism. So we've got a great episode on Sunday. Please join us for that. If you have not become a paid subscriber, I know you're like, well, yeah, I'm going to pay for things. I can watch 4 episodes a week for free, but you could also help us. Help us try to push back against the failed legacy media.
Help us help you.
Help us help the crazy people. It's $5 a month. UndividedPod.com. And I promise I won't use your money to help illegal aliens. I won't use your money to pay for boob jobs for prison inmates. I promise. I give you my word. UndividedPod.com.